and welcome back to the show. We're here for another round of organized bullshit. And joining us, as always, is Rob from Real Sharks and partner in crime, Oreo Brewer.
Tally-ho, motherfucker.
And welcoming to the show is Heather from The Villainous Narrative on Instagram. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
So I just, we were just all talking about, you know, we had talked about numerous movies and shows. Eventually we're going to revisit them. You know, in some cases we've talked about our favorite villains because every villain makes a better story. And sometimes they anchor the outline of a otherwise lacking story. And, and we might as well, we figured, hey, if we're going to talk about all these other various genres, sometimes multi-genre things, whether it's Phantasm or Star Trek or Candyman and Wishmaster, you know, we're going to talk about the best moments, you know, whether that's a giant space battle, whether it's exploding gore, whether it's just an iconic moment that just haunted you, it gave you nightmare fuel, it gave you just made you say, man, cinema's changing. And it just so happened tonight we're talking about the Clive Barker adaptation. That's, you know, it's been well used by others, it hasn't been well used by others, it's been a non-intentional comedy in some cases, it's been hated and then reevaluated. It's a ever-changing saga.
The Brave Little Toaster.
Is that the parallel?
Yeah, there you go.
The brave
love it.
The Land love Before it. Whatever Time. I always let the newcomers go first. So Heather, when did you decide, okay, this is an unusual kind of religious horror met up with a morality tale? What is it about this saga that's kind of interesting, kind of a hate watch, kind of a fun afternoon movie? What is it about?
I think the whole idea on how it's just like pain is pleasure kind of thing, it can be it's kind of cool.
We swear it's not a Daniel Still. No, it's good.
The gore in it is really good, and like the practical effects really, it's really a guilty pleasure for me. Even all the way through the series, I know a lot of people are not really popular or like into
the fan base. And I go back and forth on the fan bases, and Rob and I have had, I've had a few conversations on his show on the degrees of controversy. Just like we try to shift through the bullshits and the politics. Ori and I will often talk about the fandom and Hellraiser fans, man, I'm going to argue. You can feel free to disagree. Are they as rude as the various Halloween and Star Wars geeks? Or are they pretty cool with occasional douchery?
I mean, I feel like we have to be open to it, you know? I feel like any saga really has to be open to it. There's going to be so many installments. I guess
there's going
to
be kinds of fans and differences. And like some people are like, it's all to hell after part three. And then there were other, no pun. And then there were others who was like, I would personally say, there are a few worth watching, you know, once it went direct to video. But, you know, everyone varies. I personally don't even think the first one is the best of the franchise. I'm closer to the part two just because that showed me hell. That showed me.
Yeah, honestly, I think I just watched the second one today, and the second one, I think it beats the first one. Honestly, I agree with you.
No, that's all good. Rob, how did you get into this crazy saga? What was it, so bad? So, good territory like Jason or Leprechaun, or was it more professional and mature?
So when it comes to Hellraiser, first of all, it's a franchise and a, you know, genre of horror films I really actually respect quite a bit. This one usually goes high up in my recommendation for people. I really do enjoy this. I do enjoy these movies. For me, it comes down to how, like, the gore is really, really par none to a lot of different horrors that I've seen, especially back in the day. It's interesting how it is told from a kind of a villainous perspective almost, too, you know, because it's almost like a Clockwork Orange story. And I hate to use that as an example because you're basically telling a a story from a bad person's perspective. And, you know, because these guys, as they say in the film, they're angels to some, demons to many. And especially in the first movie, too, you know, it's literally about enacting revenge. But it's like that choice, almost like Berserk. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Berserk, how the ending of Berserk, how not the Netflix films, but the actual show itself, like how that choice to like sacrifice everybody kind of thing like that. I enjoy that.
It was based on a 88 manga, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I like that idea of the story.
But no, that's a good contrast, because it is kind of, in a way, like you say, it's a crazy morality tale, and then you're seeing these degrees of hell and
mindfuck.
Right. And like Heather said, you know, it is kind of just showing these degree of, sinners in a sinner's game using pain or pleasure. And then in a way, you probably wouldn't even have Neil Gaiman's, you know, Sandman or even Spawn, you know,
definitely Spawn. Yeah.
That's a good one. Cause it's weird. It's like, it's a mutant version of The Exorcist or Omen, except it's even more, even kind of like X-Files, where it's like, there's characters who are skeptics and then there's characters who are believers, and it doesn't, one thing I will applaud it is it never bashes the audience over the head with, you must agree with my perspective. You know?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
So rare, because most of the time other movies will hit their agenda to where you can only appreciate them in a trashy or unintended way because they are so biased. But no, it's just like, no, you're about, much like Tales from the Crypt, minus the humor, you're going to see Pinhead fuck some shit up.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Oreo, do you feel like this became, like, it's often criticized as being the next Freddy Krueger, or did you actually take it away as a cool kind of comic book worthy world, which it did become a comic? It actually crossed over with
like
Night Parade, which blew my mind. I never knew it all these
I
years.
I own that shit. I love that crossover with Hellraiser and Nightbreed.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. I love that shit. I didn't really compare it to anything. I just took it for what it was, and it was a great fucking horror franchise.
Yeah, I'm glad I waited at the right time, like El Rey before it closed down would show reruns of these movies. And I think the best part, like you guys mentioned before, some of it does get infamous notoriety, like freaking Leprechaun in space, Jason X. But then some of it is also, like you say, pretty mature and well-rounded. I mean, part 5 is practically a 7 movie. And then near the end, it reveals, oh, by the way, you know, this guy you've been chasing, it's been Pinhead luring you out so he can kill you for all the sins you've unleashed. And it takes you a while to actually put together, wait a minute, is that prostitute underage? Oh my God, did he just dose that junkie up? Oh my God, this crooked cop, he's a bastard. A cop!
Oh, the Craig Sheffer, that's right.
Right, from Nightbreed.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I almost like to think it's the same person from Nightbreed crossing over.
I love his death scene in Nightbreed, though. That shit's funny as hell. He's just laying there like,
yeah. And
I'm like, damn.
Now, Nightbreed is interesting, and not to go too much into that. We'll try and do a separate chat on that. And
yes,
the Hellraiser mythos, but it's kind
of
interesting.
Do you have the cabal cut? Do you have the cabal cut of that?
I think I've seen it on Tubi, but it's interesting in that, you know, it's an unrecognizable villain performance from genre filmmaker David Cronenberg. I'd reckon he's probably one of the best villains of all time in that one. But Clyde Barker is kind of interesting. I've seen some people kind of note how he's kind of almost like, if you want to say Stephen King, but not as over the top, because he just basically is going to hate every adaptation that's ever done to him. I'll be kind.
Well, that's
to him.
A good comparison, though.
Yeah, I'm. But the difference King is, I don't feel
he's traditional.
He's traditional, and I mean, hence why he wrote some plays and he got his theater buddy, you know, Doug Bradley, to play, you know, the title Cenobite role. But it's interesting, I find, because I don't think he's too much like Alan Moore, where he's going to refuse to watch an adaptation. I think he's just overpassionate, you know?
Oh, that's funny. I remember that shit with Watchmen. That was so funny. Yeah,
there's just something about the chains, and especially in part three when he goes all Terminator, he's fucking up all the cops and
yeah. Oh, army. That was funny. I did a review on that shit.
Oh, don't it. But yeah, part two was wild too, because he's literally having to be fighting his alter ego.
Mm-hmm.
And just how he was, yeah, Vietnam soldier, was it?
Yeah.
Yep. Caught in some weird time loop. And
I found it funny, though, because what's her name's in that? And she, and that was literally the same year Deep Space Nine came out.
Oh, yeah, Dax. Yeah. Dax from Deep Space Nine, Terry Farrell is in part
I'm
three.
I'm like, really? Terry's reporter. In this shit?
I mean, even Andrew Robinson, so there you go, Garrick. But yeah, it's you can find just about a bunch of other genre makeup Tires. People who were involved with this. Freaking Gary J. Tunicliffe, I know, cussed me out one time on social media. I don't have a photo of that anymore. He's like, I did not intend to make this saga torture porn. I was like, I didn't say it was. I just said it felt like a saw movie.
Where do you think Hellraiser sits for you, Cam, on the gore meter? Do you find it to be like a gory, like a traditional gore film, or just like a straight horror film, or a mix of both? Because I've actually come across people who find this movie to be, like, because when I've talked to people, like, I know people that like Saw, for example, they like that kind of gore, but then like they'll watch Hellraiser and they've straight up told me, oh, it sucks. I'm like, what? how do you get that?
It's so very weird, because I know I take an inspiration, because I knew a guy named Travis who was obsessed with gore. Like, that was even his name. Whenever he did a multiplayer game, he would always be called Gore.
Gore.
Yeah, and he played violent shit like, you know, Halo or Mortal Kombat, and then when we came over, we turned the gore off.
Halo, but, ain't no fucking part.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. I think most people who like Saw do like Hellraiser, but then there are others who they want, if it's not mindless, I mean, right, hence the torture porn name, and then right, they're just like, ah, man, I had to think, I don't like this. Like,
well, Saw's more intricate, though, in terms of horror, because it's a different, it's in its own class, basically, because it's goes from, you know,
I'm talking more about the idea of like the gore aspect of it, because I've had people that literally come at me and they're like, I want to watch something gore, I want some gore. I'm like, well, watch Hellraiser. Oh, because they'll say, I like Saw, so I want to watch some gore, but they watch Hellraiser. Oh, I think that movie sucked. I'm like,
where do you watch your fucking life then? That's gory.
Right.
But I love Saw, and I feel like Hellraiser and Saw just have like perfect gore in them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, to answer Rob's thing, I think it could appeal to both audiences. It could, it's got plenty for the extreme as well as plenty for the reserve.
I find newer generation, younger audiences usually find Hellraiser to be campy.
That's, I mean, funny. there are definitely some campy entries. There are definitely some lesser entries, but I think, like you say, it. I mean, I'll actually use this as another bridge, but it may be imperfect, but it's at least opening up a dialogue, and much like Tales from the Crypt, you're having fun with the characters' comeuppances, because, much like a Romero zombie film, you are, or just Romero in general, you're open to all these ideas that it's coded with, as well as, like you say, it's priming you for these inevitable kills, murders, and even just the human characters betraying each other. And it's even funnier how most of the movies just can't even be shown on regular TV or cable.
Yeah.
AMC would show like the first two very, very late at night, and then
I've seen it censored. The censor, and it's not even worth watching, man. There's so really much stuff that's taken out of it.
It's like Pulp Fiction, where you're just like, yeah, what the hell is going on? You've cut out so much of the movie. And
Tales from the Hood.
Freeze maggot farmer. Like, what the fuck's a maggot?
Yeah,
farmer?
Die Hard, oh, and even Menace to Society. Yeah, don't even bother watching on TV. You'll get too many abrupt edits. They'll fast forward for the music to where it sounds like shit. Like, they kind of do what AMC would do with the openings of James Bond or Law and Order, where it just sounds like an acid trip, you know, remix, and you're just like, stop. That gave me a headache, and I'm just trying to get into the movie mode. But yes, like like Heather mentioned and Rob mentioned and even Oreo brought up, you guys have all outlined that there's just something about these Cenobites that are very just intriguing. I mean, there's a reason they were even used kind of for the Borg Collective on Star Trek and even just for other similar kind of characters. They would always come in different forms. Some of them would be seductive. Some of them would be very taunting.
Yeah, I think there's like 30 different variants in the last I saw on YouTube.
TV tropes brought up this interesting question that I'd actually like to hear you bring up. And it's very similar. It's already based technically from a short story that Barker loosely worked on.
Hellbound Heart.
Similar. The TV tropes alludes that perhaps the Candyman might actually be a Cenobite. What do you guys think of that theory?
That's interesting.
Because the same kind of deal, a guy who's been wronged by slave owners years ago and goes out for vengeance, killing people who, again, have lust. But
could that mean Freddy Krueger could be one?
Yeah.
Definitely. Maybe the Wishmaster, even though it's an Egyptian, genie.
Jason, when he goes to hell?
Right. <Ooh. laughs> Which, again, brings Ash into this argument since we're using...
Wait. Puppet Master?
Oh, there you go, the Puppet Master. I guarantee you Charles Band wishes he had done. And so it's so funny how earlier horror like movie history books would even say, Roger Corman produced this. I'm like, Roger Corman didn't do shit. New World produced it. He had left the company by then. I'm sure he wanted the money. It's just so funny. Yeah, but no, it's interesting how kind of like there was the movie Seven, and then there was all these other kind of psychos who, Dexter types. There's even a real life Dexter killer who basically killed Dexter out of context. But it's interesting how there's always someone who's like there you go. I'm waiting for there to be a Saw copycat killer, but it does seem like there maybe a Jack Bauer copycat killer, and he's not even a But it's interesting how we get all these guys who they're not vigilantes exactly, and they're not trying to play God,
but they're not anti-heroes at all.
Yeah,
but they're not anti-heroes there either.
They're just like, we're here to fuck shit up, literally.
Mm-hmm. They are.
That's
still
kind of what they are.
Yeah,
and
they're still.
What I like about it too is like I was saying, it's kind of a choice between the family too on whether they want to do this, and that's what kind of makes it great, because you're not deciding on what. There is no good or bad. You're just like, you go with it. There is no this is a good person, this is a bad person. It's like, no, this is the decisions they make. You make that choice on how you feel about it. That's what I think is really ultimately good about the film itself, besides being like an acid trip of horror.
But that is true. They leave it up to you. Is like, hey, you're right, guy. You'll figure it out. And it is kind of, like you say, kind of amusing because... we're looking at them from afar, and we don't know what they have to reveal until it's too late. And the family predicament does forever plague the rest of the saga, because they're just one of many victims later to come. Scott Derrickson, who helmed Part 5, he didn't... And this is much like all these other franchises. It is funny how... people who worked on the sequels don't want anything to do with the other sequels, but their own sequel.
Doesn't make sense.
I wonder if
they're
all
so
connected.
Close to it. But sorry, go ahead.
I wonder if they're all connected. Like we were mentioning about Candyman and Puppet Master and all shit. I wonder if those if everybody who worked on the films, if there's a connection between people who worked on each film, if they're all connected that way.
Other than the Gary guy who also designed Wolverine's claws, I couldn't find any connections. Which is so wild, because Bernard Rose, when he helmed Candyman, he pretty much is going for a similar kind of predicament. Be careful what you wish for. Peter Atkins, who wrote parts 2 through 4, wrote Wishmaster, coming up with the same deal, except going for again camp. Yeah. And I guarantee you, Lionsgate probably has wanted to adapt it a few different times. Dimension. So you will love this though, Oreo, and Rob. You might actually have your mind blown. we did a special on here previously, and probably one of our favorites. Me and Court from Cinema PsyOps, he was talking about, I was hearing his dissect, no pun, of the Texas Chainsaw Saga, and he would always talk about people who would make a movie and sometimes it looked like a fan film. And yeah. I was like, you know what? You talk about fan films just so much. We've just done Star Trek fan films. Why don't we rank all these Hellraiser fan films? And there were some really good ones, and there were some boring ones. And then there were ones that had great ideas, even though they had, you know, amateur production values and non-actors in acting parts. But there were a few that crossed over with the Prophecy. So,
oh, wow.
Also by Dimension Films. And I was like,
Christopher Walken's Prophecy?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Archangel Gabriel. And I was like,
interesting.
Those are the kind of fan films I wanted to make for the longest time. Crossovers. There's nothing better than a properly done crossover where you can actually justify these guys other than just, oh, we're just trying to cash in on Alien versus Predator, you know, Freddy versus Jason Bunny. It's like,
it all ties back to the Rubik's Cube.
The Rubik's Cube.
That's the real that fucking he opens. Enemy. That's the real enemy, not Pinhead. Just the figurehead.
Right.
You know, I wonder how sales did after Hellraiser came out for the Rubik's Cube back in the 80s. I really do wonder.
Let's see. It was.
I will check that for you.
Awesome.
Just keep going. I'll look.
Yeah. So while Rob is doing unofficial research, I guarantee you. Well, because like you say, you know, Hellraiser was getting big just as, you know, drive-in theaters were shutting down. And I guarantee you, it probably was, you know, for every one, you know, 3 and 8, you know, Hasbro or Walmart employees, I guarantee you that I'm going to actually probably guess there's probably 40% of people who joke that a Rubik's Cube looks like Pinhead's box.
Like, what? I'm solving a Rubik's Cube? Holy shit.
Do I want it to be solved?
Leaves one sticker off the cube. You asshole!
Right. And one finger. I wonder if someone's ever designed it with actual spikes.
Dude.
If there's no serial killer death trap. That's been...
I like that's that a terrible aesthetic idea. Why would new one.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello and welcome to Culture Shocked, the pop culture podcast brought to you by 4 aging millennials and our outdated opinions. Join us every Tuesday as we discuss movies, TV, games, and even music, new and old.
Dude, what do you think you're doing?
Are you seriously trying to record a promo without us right now?
Well, yeah.
Dude, you can't just do the promo by yourself. Who's gonna listen to that?
Yeah, and you probably haven't even told them that we're a pop culture podcast where we always agree on everything. For instance, the Sam Raimi trilogy easily being the best of the Spider-Man movies.
No. But I think we can all agree that Jaws is a classical masterpiece.
Nope, don't like that. But we do all agree that the sequel trilogy of Star Wars is the best in the Skywalker saga, right, guys?
That comment is so ridiculous. I don't even know where to
Anyways, that'll do it from all of us here at Culture Shock. Thanks for listening.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR, we add them to our queues, we wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US. We are in the UK. We are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
That was really innovative, though. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the new one, it's actually been very aggravating. Like, first, you had the transphobic people who were like, oh, my God, it's a woman playing Pinhead. I'm like,
oh, Jesus.
Pinhead never had any gender affiliation.
It's actually watched a video on that, and they said that this one was closer to the book.
Yeah. Well, like, Jamie Clayton's just such a good actress, and it was just already a double insult since she's already had, you know, a tough time, you know, doing a gender shift. And it's just like, you don't, no gatekeeping, guys. I mean, Hellraiser is in hell. So,
what's the fucking matter?
It doesn't matter at all. No,
like, oh no, trans people were in hell. Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, just amazing. What just Nimrods?
And, yeah, unfortunately, I can't find anything about it. Although, recently, Rubik's Cube just announced its highest sales, though. Now,
ooh.
But in the 80s, it was still, it was just always popular in the 80s, though.
Yeah,
so
I bet
that would be interesting, though.
Yeah. I would imagine it probably went up when War Games Because War Games.
Yeah, especially the ones where you can control your own destiny and modification. It was probably in at least one Dungeons & Dragons game.
That's 100% true. Things always go up after a movie comes out. I mean, look at the Python gun from Walking Dead. Dude, that shit is like through the roof now if you want to buy one because
there
of that damn film.
I know the gun company. And I hate to go on a tangent about that since, you know, fuck guns.
You know what I'm saying, though, Cam. They do that.
Well, it's all tied.
They do, but the company that produced the model that Charles Bronson, I know, uses in Death Wish Free, like, gets, like, some residuals each time it airs.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it is fun when certain movies market a certain prop or it becomes bigger than it actually was. Or you even have to do some yes, T2 is crazy. Like that was kind of where I first realized, wow, regardless of the rating, they're still gonna make toys based on the movies and market them to kids even though they can't watch the movie.
Right, because there were Hellraiser toys. I do remember that.
Yeah, the tortured souls.
I was really aware of him for that. In fact, I was in an Angel Buffy chat, and I was like, that's where it actually made me realize that was a big thing, because other than certain select message groups, you know, we were still in, you know, everyone send a letter, as opposed to someone, you know, reminds everyone, wow, everyone does love this object of pop culture history.
It's crazy how popular shit is.
And good luck finding anyone who can, like Rob say, actually... do actual research, or
actually I can actually do research easily because it's funny, I live 1 hour away from the Smithsonian Museum of History in Washington DC, and down there they have Archie Bunker's recliner. They have the police board from Homicide: Life on the Street.
Really?
Yes, they have a bunch of shit down there. I forget what all is there, but those two items are down there. I was like, oh, and I haven't seen them yet.
I used to go to the studio at Las Colinas here, you know, past Dallas, and that was just electrifying. Wow, this is the, you know, this is the president's pillar from Air Force One. This is the, you know, green screen. There's all these props from these different, you know, 80s and 90s blockbusters. Here's this, you know, knife used by this killer in this one blockbuster movie. And
I still want Predator's knife. Well, Billy's
knife would be cool. Even going to the Wax Museum was so scary because there was one where I always thought Mulder and Scully would have been perfect in a Hellraiser sequel.
Oh, God, that would be awesome.
Or have him guest star, you know, just terrorize him on an elevator. But,
did you guys like Revelations?
The concept, that's the one where it was made for $10.
Yeah, I'm sorry, because he just looks like a pumpkin with nails in it. I do not mean to be mean, but he really does, dude. I mean,
yeah, I
it looks bad.
That one.
It looked bad.
And I like the second part of Judgment. It's just, the first part you had to get through where nothing
is happening. I just reviewed Judgment the other night. I was doing rapid fire reviews because I had a bunch of shit I'm trying to get on the channel. But yeah, Judgment, I had to say, if you get past the first 19 minutes, it's okay. Revelations. I remember that. I remember it because it was the kid went to Mexico.
It's like Dimension didn't want to give up the contract and they just
yeah it was weird, but I'd say it's like a 5, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe a
fair.
4. I don't know, each Hellraiser, every entry is different,
right?
And as you get, like, when you go back and rewatch them after so many years, or you go through a new Genesis, you are opened up to more stuff that you missed the next time around, and it's like, damn, this was really fucking good. And then you get to another installment, like, this was total dog shit. And then you're like, oh, but that was just before they hit their big hit and they became legendary.
Yeah, totally. Like, and I mean, I actually am surprised I have not encountered any Wax Museum recreation, and just even creating the whole costume of it. It's just
awesome.
You know, it was an awesome callback. Just kind of getting off topic. Does anybody remember in Bride of Chucky when they do that whole nail thing? And it goes into that guy's face, and he's all laying there, and he looks just like Pinhead. They're like, why does that look so familiar?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what the fun of it was. It's just like seeing people kind of just nod their head. It's just like, am I going to be compared to Freddy, Jason, and then every once in a while just throw out a reference to Pinhead? And
but I think Hellraiser's go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, if Doug Bradley's in anything, then it's automatically connected to Pinhead.
Oh, 1000%. If you watch Wrong Turn, what is it, 5 or 7?
Oh god,
he just hangs it up. Yeah, it got that far. I can't believe it either, but
like, the first one, absolutely beautiful, unrated. I didn't watch the sequel.
Yeah, I haven't either.
So part 2 has Henry Rollins. Part 3 and 4, I don't remember, but they were kind of funny.
He's criminally underrated in any fucking film. I love
it, really,
his work.
Is. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know why he wasn't in a Hellraiser movie. Anyway, but...
I know!
Fuck. Yeah, I mean... Is it... What do you think it is about Pinhead? Is it him coming up with the Lamet configuration? Is it him taking out one of his pins just so dutifully?
It's awesome because, you know, for people that don't even know, watch Hellraiser, they know who Pinhead is, which is, that's kind of a testament to the film itself. Right, which is how you know, pop culture has like embedded that in our head. But I think Hellraiser 2 is a film, though, you know, when you look at, like, you know, the Jason films, you look at Nightmare on Elm Street, you look at Pumpkinhead, and you look at all those, it really does stand on its own, because it's not, it may be about that concept of hell, but I just think the overall atmosphere of it, the goreness of it, everything about it, I mean, like I was saying before, it's like an acid trip of horror. And even though Freddy, you can say, it's kind of similar like that on the horror, Freddy's still kind of a parody. It's still kind of funny. He's still like, if there's humor to it. Hellraiser,
prime time, bitch.
It's Hellraiser is like, holy shit. Like, this is some guy's nightmare.
This dude's real, because no one is going to believe you or save you.
Right.
He can, at times, he doesn't really do what the others do, where they shapeshift, they pull a T-1000 or Freddy and they impersonate someone. But he will kind of like, stick a knife, kind of like Candyman. He'll stick a knife right for someone as they're having a conversation. You'll be like, whoa, 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 whoa. And so now this chief of police is dead and you're blamed for their murder unless you come to hell with me. And I think
what you gonna do?
that is true. It's like
entrapment almost.
It is entrapment. And at the same time, it's kind of,
which is what the Revelations was about. It was like a psychotic parent trap movie. It was because it was about cheating parents, and they basically get the kids are like, you guys are cheating, now you guys are going to hell and all this shit. That's what I thought was great. It was like the hell parent trap.
The parent trap to hell. But it is weird how, there's all these allusions to anything from home invasions, and anything he does to you could be worse than any other movie psycho villain. and he even going to Guantanamo Bay as a prisoner. You know, it's just there's all this fucked up stuff that, you know, you could literally be in just there for eternity getting tortured to death with no ends of escape. But I think that's just it. It's just more awesome, especially with even the one where Kerry Wuhar plays a reporter, or the one with Mayhem years before he was playing Mayhem in those progressive ads. It's just funny how they're all flawed people, and even Christy has to kind of betray someone just to stay out of hell. And Scott Derrickson loves that character so much, he did a movie called Christy that he produced, and I was like, yeah, that has to be a Hellraiser connection. But yeah, this is it. I think because Christy is so bright, tech savvy, and even any of the people, some of the people surprise you. Sometimes they want to fix their wrongs, or they still are going on an interesting mystery before you realize, kind of like in Cube, oh, well, that's right, this person is a piece of shit. Or
you love that film.
Sorry, I had to bring up something. I always thought that giant cube could be Head's cube.
Yeah,
interesting. So they're making another one of these now. They're actually they just did the 2022 one. But if they do make another one, do you think there's an audience for it? I mean, obviously we would watch it, but do you guys think there is actually an audience out there for it?
A lot of fans, and even the toxic ones, have had time to clear house. And I think, like you say, I mean, it's definitely better than what they've been thinking about. Like, at one point, they wanted him to fight another horror character. Like,
him versus Freddy would be a lot of fun.
That'd actually be kind of cool.
It would be fun. It's just, but I figured they wouldn't make good use of it. But it is interesting seeing what they developed over the years.
Constantine versus Pinhead.
Yes!
There you go, yeah.
Animated, like City of Demons.
If you get, there you go. If you got to make it awesome, animated, awesome, I'll watch it. Film. It definitely sounds better than the HBO anthology they were thinking of by the new Halloween guys.
Ooh, I got a better one. Hellraiser versus Constantine versus Dead Space.
Dead Space
animated.
Wow.
Oh, Christ. Okay. That'd be going there. Yes, I love animated. Animated horror is so much better, and it's it's crazy how good that shit is. Like, fuck. Ugh, there's not enough of it.
You know, I'm surprised they haven't made a cameo in the actual video games, because that would of Dead Space, because what's the other one? Mass Effect. It seems like they would be privy to that. Because, I mean, even with Hellraiser 4, they did kind of go all aliens. You know,
Dante's Inferno is pretty awesome, too, animated.
Yeah, I love that movie. Yeah.
And, you know, good. I think that's just it, though. I mean, it is kind of like a more interactive book version of either version of Dante's Inferno. And then having, at the end of it, you know, Pinhead, you know, escapes, or someone else escapes and locks him away. It just having that
make a Hellraiser interactive movie, that would be a lot of fun.
That could be, yeah, because like you say, you know, interactive movies, for those who don't know, are intriguing because they have multiple endings. And
Batman Death in the Family was really fucking good. They screwed up the digital release so badly. Like, how the fuck are you gonna make the interactive part disc exclusive, and then the digital part of it is just the first part of the story, and then all the other animated shorts? Like, dude, really? Idiots.
Totally. Heather, what do you think? Where do you think this franchise is going to go? Do you think they're going to do a follow up to the 2022 rehash? Which I have to say, like, every change segment, it got me. I was just like, I feel that whoever did the Foley and the effects actually felt like I was speared along with those characters.
Yeah, I was a huge fan of the one that just came out last year. So I think I think Hellraiser was like kind of fading in a way, because each new installment was kind of hanging on by a thread. But I think the new one really reinvigorated it. And I think David Bruckner did a great job. Honestly, I think that was my favorite movie of last year, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's actually kind of interesting how that and Prey were showing, hey, Hulu's now a bed for any kind of creative talents.
Yeah, and then all the controversy around Jamie Clayton, that's so true, because she did a great job.
Yeah, that surprised the shit out of me. Wow.
Like, I think it fit the movie really well. A lot of people were telling me they didn't like the Riley character, the main girl, but because she was, like, really whiny and shit. But I thought...
That's kind of really enjoyed her. I didn't find her whiny, but yeah.
Why wasn't it a dude?
I mean,
right. Anyone why didn't she fall down, break her leg, and scream all the time? Seriously.
Right. I mean, if I'm in pain, I'm not going to have anything. But yeah, it seems like a lot of people are just emotionally disconnected to where it's just like, guys.
I know.
Yeah, this is have how you seen any of these movies before? I mean, I see people who they do this with some of these other shows. Oh, I don't like it when it was syndicated. I'm like, serialized. I'm like, well, that's when it got good because it had a story to build on that was pre-established.
Yeah, like with Clone Wars, going to Star Wars real quick, people got mad about the third season because it was so political. I'm like, Star Wars is literally politics.
It's always been politics, even before Lucas did his prequels. Yeah. And it's just so funny how
the Empire is based off the Third Reich.
I know.
Everyone thought I saw people all the time. They thought it was so cool. I'm a stormtrooper, and I was like, it was the same thing
you're
for me.
Nazi
like
with Nazi.
Exactly. It's the same thing with freaking Starship Troopers. I'm like, you do know what that's
authoritarian, yeah.
Elitist.
Are you doing your part? No.
Yeah, and I think that's just it. Like, I'm cool with someone being freaking Pinhead because I know that they're in on the joke. They're versus,
and they're good at stitching too.
And just seeing all these guys who, you know, they can portray all these different, you know, characters is like you. How anyone couldn't be in on the joke and know what's what about all these characters is just like, yeah, you got to be really asleep at the wheel if you think that Pinhead is. Pinhead's interesting in that he's very neutral at the same time, if that makes sense. He's not someone who thinks you have to die. He's just like, well, I see it on your tombstone. I see, you know, he would be torturing
you did the box
and be like, okay, pedophile.
I do.
It's insane. It's like you say, it seems like everything has to be black or white when really it's in a gray area, really, more than half the time.
Wouldn't he be like definition of gray?
No, absolutely. That's why I like the story, is because it's literally told from like almost an immoral perspective. It's like no one wants, you know, you don't want your family member to die because they did some shit like that. But it's like, in a way, you would want them to die because they did some shit. It's like, let's not lie about it here. So like, it's kind of like it's like making that choice. It's like you as the audience member have to make the choice whether you're like, yeah, I would do that. Or you're like, oh, dude, that's going a bit
never
far.
Do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, do I open this box? I mean, it's still in pristine condition. I don't want to ruin the value. But if I open it, I might get a prize.
Right. How badly do you want it? It's like the treasure of the Sierra Madre, where do you all want this damn treasure, or do you want to just let him have it so that he can get killed by all these other people who are going to kill him for it? And I'm actually glad that they never brought that in money. I think it would have polluted it too much because there are so many greedy whores out there who will do, oh, anything for money. I'm like, no.
Right.
That would have been involved
zombie
killing
genre.
But, right.
But I mean, I keep going back to Romero because, I mean, Romero knew the right people got his movies and knew that they were more than just, you know, monster films or creepy psychological horror. It seems like we got to tell all the stands and Karens of the world. It's just not how this works.
And Karens of the world.
Sit down, Kyle. Nobody wants to hear your shit.
Yeah, get the fuck out of here, Kyle.
Okay, well, on that flip side, this is a question here. So, I know, right? Let me ask you this, and I'm sure Cam's going to be like, oh, did you just bring that up? So, would you guys say that this is a very politically incorrect film?
I'd say it's a very beautiful film. It should win so many awards. It's for kids.
It's X-rated, but it's not. It's not. I don't think politically incorrect. It's
NC-17.
Right.
I mean,
that's
not really
what
a lot
what
of
I mean.
Acts.
It's just. It's. I mean, there's a reason they don't come on TV. They're just impossible to edit. But,
yeah, it's offensive to anyone. Just because, have you seen that blood?
Yeah, no. I think it's kind of like Oz. I mean, some people are going to watch a minute of it and be like, that's repulsive. I can't watch anymore. And then there's others who are going to actually sit through it and be intrigued by it. I mean, obviously, there's still going to be people who suffer through a movie or sequel and say, I just don't get it. I don't understand the appeal. It was boring.
I am triggered.
I need my safe space to be safe again.
But I feel like it's almost much like Oz in that it's opening a dialogue, and those who are willing to have it are going to understand it. Those who don't are going to
good character evolution in that shit.
Totally, it's a total character evolution, and like you say, guys said, it is about seeing all these people in the gray, or they've done something bad, but they're trying to redeem themselves, and they fell, or they're beyond, you know,
saving, or the biggest plot twist, it's actually the containment unit from the Ghostbusters house, and Winston's watching over all these ghosts. There you go.
Yeah, there would be a way to tie it in. Have him make a cameo in.
Well, no,
okay, that would be a film I would see if the Ghostbusters had to go up against Hellraiser. Holy shit, that would be gnarly. I mean,
they kind of came close with whatever the entity that possesses Sigourney Weaver's character.
That's pretty close. Yeah, that'd be amazing, though.
Oh, it would. So there you go. I mean, there's your right player one Freddy Krueger equivalent cameo is having Pinhead in a Ghostbusters sequel. That'd probably be the only reason I would watch one.
But would it even hit rated R, though? That's what really sucks, because today it would.
Who owns Hellraiser, actually? Who owns?
I think Lionsgate currently.
Lionsgate? Okay. I was going to say, I swear to God, Disney owns this shit.
I mean, New World, got bought by Fox, so.
That's what I'm saying. Because I was saying Disney definitely ain't letting this out of the vault.
Well, Warlock would have technically been part of that. But
actually, what am I saying? Disney will jump on this in a second, dude. It's all about money. They're like, Hellraiser, we can make money off that. Fuck yeah, let's redo it.
I'm with you. It might be partially owned by Fox through Hulu, which is part of Disney and Universal.
The reason I even bring that up is like how you guys were saying, though, is because now they are going to make Fox, owns Alien. And now I'm a huge Alien fan. They are going to continue the Alien franchise. Is the
best Disney princess ever.
Yes, totally agree.
We need a petition to have that like more of a thing.
It needs to be. You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah. Agent Scully and Ripley should be at Disney World. I don't want to hear any story about.
Absolutely. They're going to continue the franchise, and I just worry, we're going to have a PG-13 Alien film, and I think the only reason they'll be doing that is because they'll base it more off of, there's more alien blood, so it's okay. There'll be no human blood.
Why do you think people keep thinking R-rated movies don't make any money when it's been proven false numerous times?
Matrix, right.
Deadpool,
they do make money.
I don't understand that.
Too. It's just a safer bet for theaters because family night, movie night, that's why. Because you cut the audience in half when you do rated R.
You do cut it in half.
You still make money, though, because adults are going to come see this. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
It makes it intriguing. Like when the Joker film came out, and I hate to bring that up, but everyone was like, that movie's rated R because it's so bad. I was like, I'm going to go fucking see this.
It doesn't make any sense. Why would it be
and
bad?
I was like, it shouldn't even be rated R. I was like, it kills like maybe three people. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think so. It was a tame version of The Purge.
Yeah, it was very tame.
And even the
Purge. It was a very tame version of The Purge. That's a good one, yeah.
It felt like that at the end with people jumping out into the middle of the street and Gerardo Rivera.
Hey, that's a very, very, very good point, Cam. I like that one. Yeah. It's just like the forever Purge for me. Like once you make the Purge forever and it's not in that time span, then it just becomes Blade Runner and Mad Max at that point. It's like it's not even the Purge no more. It's like when you take Jurassic Park off the island, it's just like every other B-rated horror movie with dinosaurs in it.
Yeah, it's a Sci-Fi Channel movie with a budget. Yeah. And I am glad that Hellraiser never went that route. I'm glad it never became.
That is something you can say,
But yeah, no, I'm with you. That would be cool if they did a comic book arc, which involved, Dark Horse and Fox presents Alien, in hell.
Oh, God.
He unleashes the Hell Collective upon the Predators or something like that. I don't know.
Be wild.
John Connor in Terminator goes to hell and has to fight Pinhead.
Jesus.
Actually, the Terminator versus the Alien, what I always thought would actually be interesting.
Oh, you trashing my scene.
There is a comic crossover.
I was going to say there is one. I've never read that one, though, but I do know there is one, though.
There is one with Alien. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aliens and Terminator. And, yeah,
because I've read the Alien versus Batman, Predator versus Batman. You know, I like those. Superman versus Alien.
Ario and I listened to the Who Would Win podcast, which is so funny because James and Ray will just bicker and they have to state which character they're using in the versus match, but they'll always cheat a little. Wait a second, you're using that new iteration of Dynamite Comics or Marvel DC, you sneaky bastard. And they can't say bastard, so they gotta say I'm gonna beat your butt, you know. They gotta keep it PG rated. But yeah, they will do various characters who have had their own movie and comic book crossover.
That's why you don't invite me on there.
They should totally have you as a guest judge. But it is funny because they will every once in a while they'll bring up crossovers and they're like, come on, you and I know as much as the next guy that crossover made no sense. It makes zero sense why Batman would let Judge Dredd punch him in the face. But
the one crossover that hurt my feelings was JLA Witchblade. I was so excited to read that shit and I saw the cover. I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I read the
Justice League was with Witchblade.
Yeah. And it literally, the cover literally spoils the whole fucking story. I'm like, seriously? Fucking asshole.
I do applaud him for making good use of the Hellraiser comics because, like you say, they approved by Barker. He gave them some free reign. And a more recent version of the Hellbound Heart actually had Mike Mignola of Hellboy fame pitch in and supervise the artwork, and they were basically bringing up tales inspired by Barker. Everyone was happy.
Ooh, Del Toro doing a Hellraiser film.
That'd be interesting. Like I don't know if it would work though.
CGI
and
have stupid.
I feel like it'd be too emotional.
I was just gonna say it would have too much meaning. There would be so much meaning. Yeah, it'd be like Pan's Labyrinth almost. It'd be very, very meaningful. Like it wouldn't even be Hellraiser at this point. It'd be like something totally different.
You know, this is a hot take, but I'm gonna say put Scott Derrickson back in the ring. I love Inferno. I love what he did with the Sinister and Deliver Us from Evil. Let's bring him back.
I want Critters to be brought back.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
I love Critters too. That shit's funny.
Oh, there you go. Do you want the collector from Demon Knight to come in to this fall?
Oh God,
Billy Zane's in all sorts of crazy horror movies, including.
What were you saying though, Heather? You were saying something though.
Sorry.
Oh no, I was just agreeing.
Del Toro might get a little too emotional.
Too emotional.
I think it would be way too significant with like I don't know some kind of internal depth and meaning.
Some political strife.
It wouldn't even be like gory anymore because it would be too focused on like how everyone's feeling.
It'd be very gothic.
I was Pinhead as a person.
What's the backstory? Like, who was he before all the?
Yeah, we already got that.
Is he this way? And there's a reason.
There wouldn't be any
his family
suspense.
Was a Guatemalan refugee.
There you go. Oh, or they. Or like they do with half these comic book movies, they would make him have just the most petty excuse. Oh, he took my Crayola crowns or he ate my last brownie.
Yeah, that's serious.
I'm going to take over the world. I'm like,
he drank my purple stuff.
It's not even cinematic worthy. That's just a bad comic book. And this is what annoys me with half these comic book movies in that not only are they oversaturating the market, but
good
or bad, there's just some stuff CGI that should stay in a comic. It should not be adapted as the supervillain mythos, because that is, like you guys, we've been going back and forth. Pinhead's just picking on the most unusual people, and I always took it as kind of a Twilight Zone equivalent. He's the equivalent of, again, just someone who is just wants to be judge, jury, and executioner. That's all he wants to do. You know,
and while staying gray, which is amazing.
Yeah. Somehow he doesn't get an inch of gore on his face. That's insane.
Yeah, he doesn't even have to track in or like chase anybody down. There's like no malice in him, whatever. He's just doing his job.
His hooks can't be tricked into, you know, backfiring on himself.
Like, if he wants to find you, he's going to find you.
Yeah, he's going fishing.
Speaking of moments when Frank gets killed in that first movie, dude, that is one of the most brutal things. Because I seen Hellraiser really early. I mean, it's 1987. Yeah. I seen it when I was really young. And I remember that, especially Chatterbox too, that character freaked the fuck out of me. But when he gets all chained up like that and it's all stretched out on him, oh god, that really freaked me. That stayed in my mind for a long time as a child.
Well, and like you guys say, it's bringing up the great ethos. We're feeling bad for this otherwise shitbag of a character, and he's interesting because then it makes you a bigger predicament. Who's the real villain? Is it Pinhead or is it Frank?
Yeah,
I don't know. I say it could be that his sister, because she's killing everyone. that part is another part of the movie that I'm like, that is some psycho shit. She's sacrificing all these people for him.
Sorry for those rats. The real critters that can win.
Why didn't you get rid of the mattress? You have to get rid of the mattress.
Oh my god!
It just needs flipped. Damn it.
The burning bed just took a twist. Yeah,
they should have just flipped that mattress. Problem solved.
That was the whole right point that Clive was trying to get across.
Oh my god! Mattress.
I'm like, are you?
I love this guy. I love this guy. Because you imagine that the whole time he's just like, you gotta lay on that mat. He's like, all right, just flips it over, then lays on it.
And then the movie ends.
And then one giant spike goes right through the eyes. And I could tell it was still a big deal in pop culture when I saw the poster for Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the movie. Because the first opening blurb is, from the people who brought you Aqua Teen Hunger Force and Hellraiser 3, The Gates of Hell. Geez. And I was just like, that is the most amazing marketing tagline I have seen ever. Because they knew it was absurd, just the way they were stating it. I'm like, that's fucking awesome. I must see what you have to Oh, God.
Well, yeah, what I really liked when he first regenerates or, like, is resurrected, it's just so wet and gooey.
God, gnarly.
I love it. I swear, like, that's, like, a thing that they keep going with, like, for, like, the first few movies. Everything's just so ooey and gooey.
1,000%. I even love the massacre in Part 3 where just everyone is just swept away. You don't see them anymore. And then you see like reflections of them. They get very artistic. And then I love how someone just like enters the club.
Yeah, that was cool.
Shit. He's just like, I guess I'll pour my own drink. Everybody's fucking dead air. And I see so many people just bitching around saying, it doesn't make any sense. I'm like, yes, it does.
It doesn't have to.
This is Club Sin. I mean, that's in the title. I mean,
right.
And
you ever notice I do like how the numbers say, too?
You do see allusions to this in just utter work, just from art direction to what have you. And I do applaud Rob and Oreo for bringing up Alien, because I do think there's a lot of similar designs they use. Yeah. Even that opening of Blade, where you see all those chains around and he's just massacring all the vampires. Yep. I always got a Hellraiser Wishmaster vibe from that. And because like you guys say, everyone knew about it, even if they hadn't seen it. And that's the kind of rarity. If you don't have movie channels or video store access at that time, it was kind of a word of mouth. And it seems like we've even seen gruesome anime that seems to be very Evil Dead or Hellraiser inspired.
Hellraiser, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You got Dead Space, you got Berserk.
Berserk.
Diver.
Hell, Chainsaw Man.
I haven't watched that yet.
I haven't either. I hear it's fun for what that is. This has been a delight discussing this with you all, though, because
we're done already? Fuck.
We just got started. So now, one of these Halloweens,
I'm getting our stride here.
I might have to buy a Pinhead costume. I might just have to.
We could do it like an old fashioned Cam. I mean, you could just lay there.
Put the Q-tips in the other. Yeah, I've seen people do it that way. It's just like this one at least was a giant wardrobe that costs like $200. And I was like, you know what? Hit me. I might buy that and then I'll just work on the makeup myself.
Speaking of wardrobe.
Wardrobe, is that what it's called?
No, this is funny. Because that just reminded me about Kevin Nash dressing as Oz back then. He had to carry that whole thing around with him everywhere, and it weighed 200 pounds.
Did he really?
Wow. Yes, he really did.
So Kevin podcast. Nash needs to be in a Hellraiser movie and bring in some wrestler crowd. Has anyone ever done that, where they dress up as Pinhead at like a video game convention or a wrestling? Would be amazing if someone came with all the spears, all the chains, yeah. And he just wrapped someone around and hung them up.
Just dragging all those chains in there, and they're just
and people boo him, and then he just shoots out darts. There'll be no doing. Silence. Oh God, this has been a delight. Where can we find you all on social media? Heather, if you want to go first.
I am on Instagram. And you can find me on Instagram, Villainous Narrative.
Whoop, whoop. Thank you for joining the club. Rob, what is the Real Sharks up to next, King of Summer?
Oh, what are we up to next? Well, we're actually talking about Baby on Let's Talk About, the 1970, I think it's 4 movie. I don't know if you've ever seen that. It's one of the most insane films about a guy who's literally being trapped. He's like an adult male, but it's trapped by 3 women that are making him like an infant. It's one of the most insane.
What's it called?
It's called Baby. Look it up. 1974-73. I was actually going to try and get you on that one, Cam, but we already it though. It's an insane film. So that's what we got next going on.
Look this up.
Oh dude, it's hilarious. It's kind of reminded me of Silent Night a lot, but from the psychological messed up perspective kind of thing, you know, because the guy had PTSD. It's like, this is the same thing, but in the 70s where they didn't care about those kind of jokes.
And they're all wearing bell bottoms and doing it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Staying alive, change your diaper.
But you can find the Real Sharks podcast anywhere. Pretty much you can just Google Real Sharks podcast.
What does YouTuber Oreo have coming up?
A bunch of movie reviews, and you can find me on OnlyFans, where my name is Split That Cookie.
If you say so. Is there a Pinhead OnlyFans?
No. I better not get that confused. It's another, you know, OnlyFans account.
Pinhead on OnlyFans, but he's sewing.
Today's the day.
Demons to some, angels to others, knitters to old ladies.
You knock that off, Pinhead. Give me a needle.
Oh, yes.
God. Yes.
That's going to be like Pinhead 20 right there, where he's really old, just like that, exactly. That's going to be the premise of it.
Pinhead in a nursing
some kind of
thing. Exactly. With the knitting and everything.
Oh, my God.
You stopped that, Pinhead.
My colostomy bag.
Oh, Tom Petty, he doesn't come around here no more. I know, that's a boo.
Nice.
Glad having you on here, guys. Let's do another fun sit down.
Thanks for having us, Scam. Thanks for having me.
Yippee skippy. Skippity doo doo. Skippity
doo. Have a good night, Cam.
That's the way you go, guys. Love talking to you.
I love you.
On the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a Jacked Up